Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. Yesterday, we started Alhamdulillah the Tajweed class, and we covered quite a bit, expecting that it was the first day. We went over the different types of maharij al-huruf, or the points of articulation that there are in Arabic. This turnout is a little bit blurry, but I think you can make out the word letters. If you can't, just darken it yourself or make it visible for yourself. So the first set, which you see right between the two lips in blue, is waw, ba, meem, and fa. And that's what we talked about, the makhraj, or the point of articulation for those four words. Then the second group that we see in yellow is za, seen, and the sad. The third that we see in the light purple is the dad, sa, and the wa, the three we talked about. And right after that in orange are the three wa, dal, and the ta. Right after that, that you see are lam, noon, and what is the third one? Lam, noon, and ra. Okay? Lam, noon. So make it darker if anyone needs a pen or one. Alright? The next is pretty visible. You got the wad, beam, sheen, and the ya. Right after that, you have ka and the off. And then the six letters that are in the throat, the upper part of the throat, middle of the throat, and the last part of the throat. You have first kha and the la, ha and the a, ha and the hamza, or alif. So hopefully this makhraj we talked about yesterday in detail, this is the diagram, that's how it looks like, and hopefully you guys remember. But inshallah what we will also do is we will send out an email with the notes that not provided here, inshallah we will send out in the email. Yesterday, before I move on, someone had asked me a question in regards to as to why these letters were used. Remember when we were talking about the different types of stops that there are in Quran. So we opened up the Quran and we went over different types of stops. Types of stops, it's just a quick recap of those. We had the compulsory stop in Quran, which was marked with a meme. Remember that? When you want a little meme on top of the, in the middle of the word, that was the compulsory wajib stop. One must make a stop over there. Second was the permissible stop. There were three types of those. One was sufficient. Second was equality. Third was good. Sufficient was the one where you had seen, which you will see the word qili. Sufficient was the one where you saw jim. And the last one, good, that they called it was suri. Now a person asked me why these letters were, these symbols were used for the types of stops. So these are actually some of the rumuz, or the secrets, of waqf, or the stoppage. They're derived from a name, obviously. That's why they have given them. These are the closest of all. So, meem refers towards waqf, lazim. The meem in lazim is what they used as like a shortcut for the compulsory stop. So, it's a waqf, a lazim. Waqf. Lazim. And the meme in the word lazim is what they have used to point out that it is lazim. Second, there's the word qili, right here. Qili basically means al-waqfu ula, or awla. Awla. That means stopping is preferable. Aula, any better. Preferable. That's why they derive qaf from the word waf and li from the word ula. And they made it to qili. That means it's better to stop. Remember that? Jim, obviously that's a simple one. That means mujawwaz or jaiz or waqful jaiz. So it was jaiz either way. You could stop or you didn't have to stop. Either way, it was equally relevant as they had said it. Sully means al-waslu awla. Wasl means connection or continuation is preferable, better. See, the sawd is coming from wasl. La is coming from that part. That's why they made it into, they use these. There will be more coming up later on. For example, Allah. You will see the small little la written on top. There, it means la waqfa alayh. La waqfa alayh. That means don't stop. Keep on reading. You're not supposed to stop there. That is the complete opposite of this meme. Meme, you had to make a stop. It was compulsory. Here? No. It should not stop. You must continue.
What is the purpose of having?
What? La? Yeah. Well, sometimes people might stop there. Okay. But when you stop there, it will actually change the meaning.
So don't even stop.
Don't even stop.
Even take a breath,
no, you can't even take a breath over there. Yeah. Sometimes people might take a breath because they see a wow over there. And sometimes the symbol is there. They'll just stop there. A lot of people, that's what they make a mistake. They say, if the sign was not there, I would have never stopped there. But because there's a sign, people just stop there, thinking that it might be a stop. But actually, it says clearly, la. In Arabic, means no, don't. There's no stopping there. Another sign that you would see is they will come back to back, one sentence. If you have the Quran, if you open up to the first ayah of Surah Baqarah.
Sorry, is this a precautionary or?
Which one? This, we haven't discussed it yet, we'll discuss it. It'll come up later on. Because I was explaining, I said, let me just go through them all. And then once we read the rules about them, it will come under what it falls under. Is it prohibited? Is it what? So Surah Baqarah, first verse, if you look at it, after Alif Lam Mim, you will see these three dots. Right? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبُ There are three dots. فِيهِ Again, there are three dots. هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Now, we've read this ayah a million times. Have you followed what we're supposed to do over here? These two dots mean مُعَانَقَ Now explain what it means. Mu'anaqa, does anyone know what that means in Arabic? Mu'anaqa is basically when you hug one another, right? Mu'anaqa, right? You embrace one another. Embrace another person, you galim al dinak. That's what mu'anaqa is. This is what's going on over here, this mu'anaqa, whenever you see this, you have to stop at one, but not the other one. But you have to stop at one of the two. So if you said, you decided to stop on the first one, like here, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبُ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ You cannot stop on that. But if you didn't want to stop on the first one, you ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين What that? Alright? Did you pick up a book?
Yeah.
Okay. You're actually there right at the page. All these things are actually written there as well, so you might not even have to write them down. But this goes under precautionary stuff. The book that I have given to you guys, if you go all the way to the end, there are no page numbers, unfortunately, on that. It's right after page 90 where we stop. Yeah, beginning of that. Yeah, right here. Right. What page is it? What page number is it? Huh?
After 91.
After page 91, if you open up, there's another note you have attached. You're actually there. You're there. All right then. This is, you will find all of these written up here. So if you take down notes, good for you, but these are all modulable. So the one that we just talked about, the convergence of a stop, is precautionary stop. Right? It's a precaution. So it's not wajib, first of all. It's just a precaution. Precautionary stop, also called the convergence of stops, indicates the convergence of two near situations where it is possible to make a stop. In such case, a stop is made at one of the two situations only. So, it's a precautionary stop. It's just if you don't do it, it's not a problem. But it's just a after page 91. Basically means waqfe mutlaq. And obviously you can see where the twa is being derived from. It's derived from the word, the letter twa in the word mutlaq. It means one should stop here. It's kind of like a qili.
Qili or like M? La is M.
No, it says one should stop here, but it's not...
I thought mutlaq means that must.
They have talked about it, they talk for mutlaq, one should stop there. But you're right, mutlaq should mean that, you know, there's no conditions attached with it.
Right.
But we'll stick with what they've said, inshallah, we'll do more research about it, and then we'll give you... But we'll stick with that one should stop, it's kind of like silly, alright? Sometimes, you'll see a little kaf in some of the versions. It means kazalik. Kazalik in Arabic means like that. Same as before. So whatever sign was there before, same as before.
These aren't in here, or you're just...
They're not in there.
Okay.
They're not in there. These are just some of the extra ones that you might see
okay.
in other versions of the Quran, or even in this version, this text of Quran. Alright, so you will see this kaf sometimes as well. In the other versions, you might also see a zay. Like that. Right? That means waqfe mujawwal. Kind of like a jeem. Right? The jeem that we had discussed. That. But, excuse me, it's kind of like being mujawwad, but it's actually in its application, it's like silly. So it's better not to stop, better to continue, right? It's preferable for one to continue. Because in these other versions of Quran, you will also see a jeem. Jeem is basically... that we had in our own.
What's the example for the kaf?
Kaf, there's no same thing. We don't have any example for that in this version of Quran. It just means kazalik, the way it was previously. So, I don't know what the purpose of it is.
So you just continue normally?
Just continue normally. So then whatever sign just passed, so it must have passed recently. Right. It will not be a sign that passed 2 days ago.
So
whatever sign passed, the same rule will apply with
it. So it was like, if it was like Kili, then you...
Yeah. Because yeah. That means the same. Same as before.
Oh, okay, I see.
Kadalik means same as before. In some Quran, you will also see a little qaf. Right? And all the alphabets are there, in other words. This refers to the word qiyya alayhi al-waqf. Qiyya alayhi al-waqf. It's better not to stop. So kind of like the za that we have. I'm just giving you these. You will never have to use these. The ones that we talked about that are discussed in the handout that we have given out, those will be the ones that will be appearing in this Quran of the Usman Taha text. But these are just there for your own knowledge. But because someone might ask tomorrow that, there's this qaf there. There's this scene there, there's this bra there. What are they? You attended the tajweed class and you don't know these.
Sure, sometimes you feel like little Scooby line.
Like what?
It's the horizontal Scooby line.
Like a sajda?
No, it's right here.
Tell Tell me the ayah.
It's in Yasin. So, you have to try to work out of Aquilan.
Yasin, ayah number one?
12.
نحن نوجه الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم.
Yeah, right over the top.
Can you bring it to me? I don't have it yet. This thing?
You have to put it here. If you do, Lama will just hang it to me.
Yeah, I don't have that one either. But I guess maybe find it in Manda script though. So you want this type of line there. And I don't know what this is. Anyways, let's move forward. Okay. Let's put time on this.
So we talked about the four types now, the compulsory, the permissible, precautionary. There was a prohibited one as well. Moderate pause. These are the they will appear in Quran in this text especially very often, and you can spot them out. Now let's move on to the next, which is the types of hamzas. And we're still in the, we're going through some of these basics, and then we will get into the real issues about tajweed and the real rules of tajweed once we pass through some of these preliminary things. So types of hamzas. There are two types of hamzas that we find. Hamza is this thing right here. One is called wasl. Second is called cut. Okay. Wasl is usually marked with the alif and this little cloth on top of it. And it's marked with alif and a hamza on top of it or underneath.
This indication that if you see an alif and this little swad on top of this alif, you will know that this is hamza wasl. And if you see this hamza itself on top of the alif, you will know that it is hamza qat. Now, why the two different types of alif, qat and wasl? Let's read it together. It says this hamza qat or hamza wasl, if you can correct that, disjunctive hamza or hamza qat not wasl, is the one which occurs at the beginning of a word in connected speech and in writing. It is called disjunctive hamza because it separates some letters from each other when it is pronounced. Disjunctive hamza either in initial, mid, or in the end position of the word. It occurs in nouns, verbs, and particles. Disjunctive hamza is always pronounced. So that's the key to remember. It's always pronounced. Hamza qat. Or if you can remember it with its Arabic name, which is qat. Because the word qat basically means something is cut off, you know? You feel that it is qat. Is hamza wasl. Obviously, this one is the opposite of it. I'm just going to read the end of it because the sign of hamza is the occurrence of a minute sod on others. What does it do? Because it leads to the pronunciation of the non-vowel letter occurring at the beginning of the word. Hamza wasl will always occur whenever it's, and you will never pronounce it. It will be pronounced, it will never be, and it will be always in connection. Except unless it's in the beginning of the word. For example, the giving over here is Alhamdulillah, right? You see this little thought there. Now, if there was another verse before it, you will connect it with that. You will not start your speech with Alhamdulillah. You rather connect it with the previous word or the word. Now, if you open up Quran, can I get one? We'll look at some examples of it. Alhamdulillahi Rabbi Al-Alameen. Always be wrong. You must connect it. This Hamza is not to be pronounced. Rather, as it says, Hamza is the one that appears in the beginning of a word. It is dropped in connected speech. It is called conjunctive Hamza because it leads to the pronunciation of the non-vowel letter occurring at the beginning of the letter. Means connection. That's where the name is derived from. It's Hamza Wasl and it's going to be connecting. Hamza Qatl will always be recited. If you look at the example for that, Iyaka Na'budu, Iyaka Nasta'in, that Iyaka, that Hamza Qatl right there. And you see the little small hamza underneath the alif, right? You will not say, well, the first one, you don't have any choice. Iyyaka na'budu. And you can't just say, wa'iyyaka nasta'in. Wa'iyyaka nasta'in would be wrong. It's actually, wa'iyyaka nasta'in. This alif or this hamza has to be pronounced.
So I can see the hamza can be on the top or at the bottom.
Yes.
Is it the same with the Hamza was? Mm-hmm. Can it also be at the top?
The Hamza was will always be marked on top.
On top, okay.
Top will be marked like that on both.
Okay.
I couldn't quite understand what is written here on the number 2. It says it's the one which you can the word. It is dropping connected to speech. It is called conjunctive hamza because it leads to the pronunciation of the non-vowel letters. If you go yaka, right? Yeah, is it vowel?
No. Non-vowel letter is the letter that's coming afterwards. This lam right here.
But that's not the vessel. Or is it? It is. Yeah.
Okay, so the non-vowel letter, you will be connecting with that. The pronunciation of the non-vowel letter occurring at the beginning of a word. Alright? Okay, now, very quickly, let's just go through the three types of vowels that there are. First, to talk about fatha. Also call it zabar. Some of us learn it as zabar. It says the conjunctive hamza is pronounced with a fatha when it occurs at the beginning of the word in nouns made definite with al. Now what is this definite al? This is a definite particle called alif lam. Alif lam basically translates as the in English. And when you're making something definite, you will apply that alif lam on top of it. We will learn right after this what is alif lam. Actually, we should do it right now because it's coming up in our conversation right now. There are two types of letters in Arabic. Either they're letters or sun letters. Moon, they call it حروف القمرية. Qamar is moon. And this would be called حروف
الشمسية.
They just gave them these names because of the Qamariya and the Shams. Now, what's the difference between the two? In Qamariya, alif lam is pronounced Huruful Qamariya. Ful Qamariya. I pronounce lam Huruful. But over here, I would not pronounce it lam. How would I read it? Huruf Shamsiya. Right? I did not pronounce alif lam. Whereas I did pronounce it from over here. So in Huruf al-Shamsiyya, whenever there's alif lam being used in it, this is something which you already apply. You know it, you read it. There's nothing new. You already know the laws of it. It's just that now, you already know how to do it. It's just the law we're trying to explain over here. So the two types of alphabets, Huruf al-Qamariyya and Huruf al-Shamsiyya, if you open up to page 44, actually, the bottom of 43rd, page number 43, the definite article, alif lam. The word alif lam means the. It makes the word before, which is place, definite. For example, not any house, but the house. Once you might say baytun, baytun means any house, a house. But when you say al bayt, ahlul bayt, we just don't say ahlul baytin, right? It's ahlul bayt, that means the house, so it's specific, it's definite. Is that it is important to know that when alif lam is added to the word, then the word changes the tanween or the two fathas or the two kasras or the two bumas of its last harf into haraka, a short vowel, and we'll explain that as well. So if you have a word baytun and you wanted to make it a proper noun or a definite article attached with it, it will no longer be al-baytun. It will be wrong. What will it become? Al-baytun. It will not remain baytun. It will become al-baytun. That's aside from that, one of its laws. But they're divided into two parts. Moon letters and the sun letters. Huruf al-Qamariya and al-Huruf al-Shamsiya. Huruf al-Qamariya applies the law of izhar. Izhar is coming up later on, inshallah. We will talk about that. Izhar is when you manifest the noon. So it's a specific qaida, it's a specific rule for the noon sakin, which we will discuss, inshallah, four weeks from now. But it's using the same terminology. Izhar means to manifest. What will you do over here? You will manifest alif lam. You will say al qalam. You will say al qamariya. The lam will be pronounced over here. And the letters of it is alif, ba, jim, ha, kha. There are 14 letters, basically. Right? 14 letters for that, moon, and 14 letters for shamsiyya. On top of that, you have al-huruf shamsiyya. The definite article, alif lam, appears for a word that begins with a shamsiyya letter. The lam loses its sukun and becomes silent. The sun letter is then pronounced mushaddad, kind of like with a tajdeed on it. In copies of Quran, the sun letter following the lam is usually written with a tajdeed, but this does not occur in dua books, although the same rule applies. So if you have a word, shams, 15 is the sun letter. You will see the Sajdeed right here. Sajdeed is this right here. Ash-Shamsu. But in Qamar, the Qaf, which is Huruf al-Qamari, you will just see the sign of it. Okay. Question, there's nothing new in it. You guys already know this verse. So it came in between, so we had to discuss it. Let's go back to Fatha. The conjunctive is pronounced with a fatha when it occurs at the beginning of the word. A noun definite with the article lam. Example, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Fatha is marked with a sign on top of the word. But what we need to, well, let's go to Fatha, Kasra, and Dhamma, and then we'll explain a few things. Second is Kasra, or as you might have learned as Zair, pronounced with Kasra, or E sound, or I, you know, when it occurs at the beginning of a verb with a Fatha on its third letter. Now this is getting confusing, I'll give you an example. If you look at the next page, the example is there. How will you read that? Can you read this to me? Who said that? Idhab. It's not Adhab. He said Adhab, so that's Idhab. We call this Swat. So it's Hamza Wasl. You don't know what was there before, the previous ayah. Let's say you stopped at the previous ayah, now you're starting this new ayah. How do you know what to put underneath this alif? This hamza wasl. What you put there. And this will appear in this Quran at many places. And, you know, it will be stuck. You'll be like, you know, I don't know what the harakat is. Unless you go back and join it with the previous word, then you're fine. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Let me put it in the Quran because it will be better if you look. In the Quran, easier for us to understand. I think it's somewhere in Surah Taha, but Surah Taha, verse number 24. Surah Taha. Somewhere around Surah Maryam. لنريك من آياتنا الكبرى. Now I'm stuck. I stop there. What do I do? اذهب إلى فرعون إن إنه طغى. How do I know it's a kasra here? I don't know Arabic. I don't know the word. But there's a very basic law. If you can follow that, you will always know what to put there. Another example of it, let's look at it, Surah Yasin. Verse number 21. I'm going to read from verse number 20. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أجرا وهم مهتدون. If you didn't have the text of Quran where they do more there than numbers and all that, what would you do over here? A lot of people make a mistake here and they read attabi'u out of their, you know, this own knowledge. They just guess it's attabi'u and that is wrong. Change the meaning. Ittabi'u is a verb. It's commanding you, you know, to go ahead and move forward and do follow and do ittaba. Attabi'u would be actually saying I follow. Attabi'u, I follow. Ittabi'u, you follow, all of you. It changes the meaning. If you say adhab, that means I go. I'm going or I go. Izhab, you go. Izhab ila Fir'aun. O Musa, go to Fir'aun. That's what I'm commanding over here. So how do you know this? You gotta look at the third letter in this word. That's the key. You look at the third letter in the sequence, and whatever is on top of that third letter is gonna determine what's gonna go on the first letter. Now look at the next example, the next that we have given over here. How would you read that? And right here in the package right here. The next example. Uduru. Good. How do you do that? How do you know that? Uduru ila rabbakum. Okay. Look at the third letter. This is first, second, and the third. This is first, second, and the third. Whenever there's a bomb on the third letter, first letter, the same. Whenever there's a fatha or a kasra on the third letter, the first letter will always carry kasra. Repeat it. The third letter, if it has a dhamma or a pesh, the first letter will always have a dhamma or a pesh. But if the third letter has a fatha or a kasra, then or a zabar, the first letter will always carry a kasra. A zair. Simple. Fatha will always be there and it will be marked. Fatha will be marked unless it's in the nouns, and nouns you usually know it. Nouns is easy. We usually know it. But where they have a fatha, it will be marked and you will know how to read it. You will know. I mean, you will know how to read it. So this is a little qaida. But if you can't remember all this, just go back to the previous letter, last haraka, and then combine it with that, connect it with that.
So it will never start off with, like for example, over here, it's ittabi'un, right?
Ittabi'un.
It's not going to be ever ittabi'un, no matter what condition there is. It's always going to be a or e.
Yeah.
Okay. If there's a page or
if the page is there, then you will see the page on the third letter.
Yeah.
So if the third letter has a page, you will put it on the first. letter on the first letter. So basically, in other words, fatha and a kasra equals a kasra. Dhamma is just a dhamma. Patience.
And what if there's nothing on there? Because over here, you know, you said it's tabiuni, but the third letter afterwards is a wow.
No.
The third letter is...
It's tabiu. That's the third letter.
The third letter after, or the third letter in the sequence?
Third letter in this word. So you got the first letter is this alif. And you have a ta which has a sheed.
Okay.
So there are two ta's basically. Alif, ta, ta. Right?
Yeah.
So this will be the third letter. And it has a fatha on it. Basically, it was like this. It, the, be, right?
Yeah.
You put the stuff together, put a tajdeed on it, so it became it, the, be, ooh. Before, there's the Hamza Qatr will always have marked on it. So inna, if I start with inna, you will see the hamza, little hamza and the zir there, or a kasra there. If you start with anna, you will see the hamza, if hamza qat, that is supposed to be pronounced all the time. These were examples of hamza wasl, where you're not supposed to pronounce this. But if you did not connect it with the previous letter, now you're stuck in this situation. What do you do? This is how you read it. This is the universal law for it. وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ أَتَّخِذُ مِن
دُونِهِ
the ayah number 20 we just read. Yeah, that's just a simple one. They're marked and it's easy for you to read.
Okay, and then this example over here, you'd start off with Ud'u, right?
Ud'u. Look at ayah number 31. Surah.
Is it Ud or Ud?
Ud, Ud, with a page on it. Ud.
Ud.
Look at page, ayah number 31. Alam yaro. So you got the Hamza Qasr there. It's easy for you to know. Or even the previous ayah. In Kanat. There's nothing there. I'm looking at those instances.
So on Surah Yasin, on the 20th and 21st, if we would have just read the tabu verse,
then you just said not tabu. If you were connecting, for example, verse number 20, good point, he said, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتبعوا من لا يسألكم. You will just connect نتبعوا if you were connecting with the noon. But stop. مرسلين. You took a pause. Now what you do? You can't just say نتبعوا. That's wrong. A lot of people do that. Surah Humuza. ويلل لكل همزة لمزة. Then they say نِلَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَدًا. They say nillavi. Because there's a little noon, they write little noon on top for a help. That you will find in this Quran though. In the other text you will find it. If you're stopping at humaza, you cannot say nillavi. If you're connecting, then you will say nillavi. وَيْلُلْ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ إِلَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالٌ وَعَدَّدًا. But if you stop, humazatin lumaza الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالٌ. Because there's no such word as nillavi in Arabic. There's no such word, nalladhi. It doesn't exist. Look at ayah number in same surah, surah Yasin, last page, ayah number 80. How did you start it? It's a noun. So you recognize it's a noun, it's not a verb. So if it's a noun, you're going to put a zabr or a fatha there, and you read الذي جعل لكم, right? You want to say الذي, because there's no question. You already know this word. الذي is a noun, and it's going to carry a fatha. It's going to carry a zabar. So you won't look at the third letter and then put a zair or a kasra there.
Wait, why would it carry a fatha?
It's a noun. It's not a verb. This law applies to the verbs only.
How do you know what's a verb and what's a noun?
Well, you will figure it out. I mean, you'll see it. Verbs are usually... This word, al-lazi, is very common. We all... I mean, al-lazi, al-lazina, it appears in Quran many times. And we know how it's pronounced, and we know what the way it is pronounced. Because nothing... Al-lazi will always be al-lazi.
And you know, in different books, this is the instance where they put noon.
Yep.
With a zair.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you were to connect...
Yeah, like here, خَلَقِنْ عَلِيمٌ. Here, they would put a little noon on top of الَّذِي. So how, this is how you would lead. Read. خَلَقِنْ عَلِيمٌ الَّذِي.
Yeah, see, this is a place where I've had problems for years.
Yeah. A lot of people just read through it. They, you know, this is how they read. خَلَقِنْ عَلِيمٌ الَّذِي. You know, they want to connect alimun with alladhi. Read it, alimul ladhi. No, you cannot do that. You have to drop it. Add it, let's just explore why it is like that. Where is this little noon coming from? Let's explore that. We'll take the same example. Bikulli khalqin alimun. الذي okay. In the other of Quran, you will see the little noon there. And you will see a dhamma there instead of they'll put up dhamma. That is easy for you to read. بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٌ الَّذِي. There's nothing wrong. But how do you read it over here? There's no such thing written. عَلِيمٌ الَّذِي or عَلِيمُ الَّذِي. Sometimes people read just like that. عَلِيمُ الَّذِي. Because they want to connect the mun with Islam. But it's عَلِيمٌ and we don't have help either. Alimun is basically this, Alimun. Right? Alimun. It's like this, Alimun. And you got Alladhi. This guy right here has no Hamza Wasl. This two lambs there. First one has no sign, second one is this. Now you got two word letters without any signs on it. In Arabic you have two back-to-back letters, no vowels. They're both have sukun. You can have two letters back-to-back without any sound or vowel on it. So they must have something. So when you have two back-to-back words or letters without any sign, with jazm or sukun on it, you give the first one a zair. Because you cannot pronounce two letters, iltaqai saqinain, when they're two saqin connecting or coming back-to-back, it is impossible in Arabic. But if it does happen, because you're trying to read through tajweed laws, it will never be in between a word. But when you're making connecting two words, it might happen because the first one is ending with a sukun and the second one is starting with a sukun. So what do? You put the kasra or the zair on the first one. And this is where they carry this little noon and they take it out of the context and they put it right here. In the other Quran, if you had the other Quran, you will see the example. That alimu milladhi. Confusing? Have I confused everyone over here? Pin drop. sense.
No, but that whole noun verb thing just makes it all the more complicated.
Yeah.
Because we're not native Arabic speakers.
But you will see these. It will be very rare that, you know, aside from these alladhis, there's hardly any other word. Like alhamdulillah, you know alhamdulillah is alhamdulillah. You will never say ilhamdulillah,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know those words. There, you will rarely find any example which you don't know. Like alladhi, you knew alladhi, right?
Yeah.
You would have never made this mistake. You would have never illadhi. And I know you go ahead and read Quran, make a habit, I'm sure you read Quran, but make a habit, you see, in examples, you will never really find any example where if the sign is not there and you don't know how to read it. It'll only be in these situations where there's a verb and you don't know how to read it. I'll tell you that.
How about the second page, the next page over? I think it's
okay,
verse 21. Right? So would you say,
Ayah number 21?
Yeah. Would you say, Ushuru? Is that how you start off?
So what page are you on?
We're on 446.
446, okay. Ayah number 21. Yeah, Ushuru. How do you know Ushuru?
Yeah, but I don't know if it's a verb or a noun, though.
Another thing with the nouns will be... we've got to search for the example.
If it's a noun, it would have alif lam.
Yeah, it would have alif lam if it's a noun, first thing. Because starting with a...
Yeah.
If it's a noun, it will always be starting with an alif lam. That's another indication.
All the time?
All the time.
Okay.
Majority of the time. Not all the time, majority of the time. But as I'm saying, you go through, look at the Quran, and let's see, bring out the examples where there's no indication, it's not a verb, and you don't know how to read it.
Okay.
So you would read it as, oh, you pointed it out. It looks like a verb, right?
Yeah. Sure.
You picked it out. But usually, with Allavina, you already know that. Allati, you already know that. Allati, you already know that. These are the ones that you already know. And majority of the ayat is start with that. And if there's no, if it has Hamza Qat, it will have the Zabr or Zair or Qat and Kasra written on top. For example, Ar-Rahman, Alam al-Quran. You will never start with Ir-Rahman, but you already know the word Ar-Rahman. It's now starting with Alif Lam.
Same word that we were talking about right now. Can you connect it to the next word?
446?
Yeah. Ushuru alladhina
ukhsiru.
Where?
Ushuru.
Can you connect it from the previous ayah?
Ushuru.
Ushuru alladhina zalamu wa azwajahum.
So it would just be Ushuru.
Ushuru. In the middle of the sentence, you know what to do. I mean, you know Hamza Wasl will not be read. You won't say, oh, shuru al-ladina. See, al-ladina, whether it's in the middle also, it will always start with zabar. Al-ladina. But if you say, oh, shuru al-ladina, that would actually be technically wrong. You should rather say, oh, shuru al-ladina zalamu wa azwajahum wa ma kanu ya'budun.
So we ignore that wa.
Yeah. Another thing that you ignore in Arabic is alif, waw, and ya when they carry no sign.
Too much.
When they carry no sign, you don't read them. There'll be a lot of places. Inshallah, we will discuss that too. It will appear in many of the examples. So today, alhamdulillah, we covered a few things. Definite article, alif lam, huruf al-qamariya, huruf shamsiya. We talked about them. We finished off yesterday's talk about these different signs that you see. We've given out this kharij. You can practice that as well. Our promise to you, or your promise to us, was that inshallah you will be reciting 15 ayat. That will be the homework. Every time we have a class, you have to go home and recite the 15 ayat and specifically look at the examples that we have given and apply them while you read. Right now you haven't really learned many rules of literal tajweed itself. But these are the things, some of these things. Now when you start reading, you will come across these things and you'll say, oh yeah, now it makes sense. oh yeah, now I know what it's doing over here. So just these huruf al-qamariyah, you will see many of them as you're reading the Quran. Huruf al-shamsiyah, you will see them, many of them, as you're reading Quran. And also, makharij of these letters, you should start reading Quran more often to practice how to recite or say some of these alphabets. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
اللهم صل على محمد.